Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the famous Heroes of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, where the author has been discussing the various patriarchs and others in the Old Testament. And then he writes these words: "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. A few years ago, a couple of high school students stopped by my office on a tour of the campus. One of them knew me a little bit. She was an American citizen, but the girl with her was a foreign exchange student from Ukraine. And while the American student and I stood and talked for a moment, this Ukrainian student was looking around my office and looking at my books and things on the wall. And all of a sudden, I could see in her face, her eyes just lit up. And she said, Is that from Ukraine?" And I said, "Yeah." And I looked, there was an Easter card that a friend of mine in Ukraine had sent me. It had Ukrainian on it, and you could tell by the imagery that it had Ukrainian artwork. And she was immediately drawn to go over to it and had to grab it and pick it up and look at it and read it. And she actually translated it for me, which I hadn't known prior to that. And she was so excited, and she said, "Oh, I love Ukraine." She'd been in the States about 5 or 6 months at the time, and she said, "Oh, I can't wait to go back home. I can't wait to see my family again." And she went on and on about how neat Ukraine was, and we talked for a few minutes. I'd been there a few times, and interesting when you've been away from home for a while and then get that chance to see something from there, how it just evokes and brings out a longing and a desire to go back there and to see those people again. By faith in Christ that God has implanted in our hearts, we have a longing to be in our homeland, but we've never lived there yet. And yet there is this built-in desire in us to want to be where our Savior is and all of those who love him and trust in him. From God's perspective, there are really only two groups of people in this world. There are those people who are living for the things of this world and this life and what they can get out of this life. And then there is the group of those who, through faith in Christ alone, are living for a different country, the country and the homeland of heaven. And as soon as God connects us to that Savior by faith, as soon as we come to realize how wonderful his grace is, as soon as we come to appreciate and treasure the fact that every sin we've ever committed in our life has been forgiven and washed clean by the blood of Christ, and that because of what he's done for us, we have the hope of going to heaven, as soon as that takes place in us, there is now this built-in desire and this built-in longing to want to be with our Lord and with his people. Our text says about these believers, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Paul put it in different terms, but very similar. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there. Our life and our hearts are now connected to the members of God's faithful who, along with us, already belong to that kingdom of heaven, even though we've never been there. There is a natural built-in gravity to find each other. Look at us. We're doing it right now. There's a natural built-in tendency to gravitate toward one another by this faith that God himself has implanted in us, causing us to love this Redeemer. And even though in this world we can be spit at and mocked and ridiculed and walked on and made fun of for our faith and for our longing of wanting to be in that different, better, heavenly country, we still persevere. We love our fellow countrymen, our compatriots. And along with them, we are willing to be counted as foreigners, as weird, as odd, and as misfits in this world, because we know it's worth it for the homeland where we belong. But there's a challenge for us living here in this world. We are longing for a country that we have not yet seen. And the country we're presently living in here in this world, it looks pretty good sometimes. It can be pretty alluring. There's a lot of stuff about living here and living for here that can be pretty impressive and that can start to win over our hearts. Dr. Paul Kretzmann said regarding Christians looking at the hope of getting to heaven, members of Christ Church, he said, hail God's promises from afar, like people on board a ship may wave recognition to a group of friends on shore. There's a distance between where we are now and this future home that we have not yet seen. And right now we're just kind of waving at it, longing for it to come. And in the meantime, we can be very drawn back to this world we're living in. We can be very drawn to appreciate, and not just appreciate, but to start to love and to live for so much of the stuff I can have in this life. And that can distract us. Napoleon Bonaparte, who himself was a professed atheist, used to complain about the Christian clergy in France. This is what he said. I am surrounded by priests who repeat incessantly that their kingdom is not of this world, and yet they lay their hands on anything they can get. And isn't that a temptation for all of us, even those of us who are close to the work of the church and involved in it, how the lure of the things of this world and what we can have here, it just keeps sucking us back. It keeps grabbing our hearts and saying, think how great you could have it here. Faith has an invisible goal, and because of that, it puts us at odds with the world. But it also puts us at odds with our own sinful hearts and our own sinful flesh. And they start to ask us questions to our faith. Well, what if living for heaven is pointless? What if it's futile? What if this all ends in nothing? What if it's a big letdown? It's all so far away. Do you have any evidence of it at all? What if I'm an idiot for living my entire life and expending all of this time and energy so dedicated to this place I've never seen? What if it doesn't even exist? What if this Christian thing and this Christianity thing is all just a big hoax? And along the way, those who live in the country of this world taunt us and ridicule us as well. But as St. Paul said, God uses the foolish things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to ultimately lead us to that home. The first few verses of this chapter that we're reading from in Hebrews 11 says those great words, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This faith that helps us, that has us latch on to the hope of heaven, this faith God himself has created in us, and it becomes the very thing about you that makes him cherish you and causes him to be willing to be called your God, because he loves the fact that even in this foreign world, you bear his name. You carry the name of the Trinity through your baptism. Notice how God always speaks with such solid certainty about heaven when he talks to believers in Christ about their salvation. He has prepared a city for them, it says. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Dr. Luther said this, when Christ speaks about eternal life to his faithful, he does not speak only in the future sense, you will have eternal life, but rather, you have it already. And so even though you haven't been there and you haven't seen it, you possess it now by faith, with absolute certainty. God gives you every right to talk about heaven as your home. He gives you every right to claim it as your inheritance. He gives you every right to demand that you get to be there someday, not because of you, of course, or me, but because of our Savior and what he's done for us. He even, following the words of our text, includes you in these words. The author goes on to connect all of this to you. Listen. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, he says, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And God would have us remember that the country that we already possess now by faith can't be even compared to anything in this foreign land. So hang on. Be faithful unto death, he says, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen.